30-minute reviews, beware of spoilers, and exploring hyperspace lanes are all available ad-free. But if you want to support the show, you can go to bewareofspoilers.com and click the support button that's available on the Spotify website. Thank you. And welcome to Beware of Spoilers. I am Adam on yet another rainy March morning. I'm tired. Anyway, what we're here to talk about today is the new episode of The Bad Batch. And I don't know how else to put it, but I think that they are not handling this show that well. I think this season is definitely the weakest. And I think we're getting to Filoni getting into, I'll say it, JJ territory. Because one of my big criticisms of the sequel trilogy and Lucasfilm handling Star Wars in general, or how Lucas has been handling Star Wars in general since the Disney acquisition, is the fact that Disney, when they bought it out, ditched the entire old expanded universe. Now, I'm not one of those people who holds that in such high regard, because there's a lot of shitty aspects of it, let's be real. It wasn't perfect at any point, and it never was perfect at any point. That's not my issue. My issue is they threw it out, and then they said, like, okay, so we're getting rid of this, but everything from here on out is going to be equally canon. Every TV show, every book, every movie, everything's going to be on the same, even canon playing field. And, alright, that was good for a little bit. Then we get to The Rise of Skywalker, which flies in the face of everything that had come in the expanded universe of the new canon. Like, how do you justify Operation Cinder from Battlefront and from assorted other books like the beginning of Alphabet Squadron in a world where the Emperor is not actually dead? The Emperor has cloned himself, and this is all seven-dimensional chess. How do you rectify those two things? It's hard to do. So there are entire books now trying to fit together the canon that was blown to pieces. And it comes down to the fact that JJ wanted to do something that he thought was cool. And look, let's not say that this is not, I mean, look, obviously the creative committee at Lucasfilm also was like, all right, go for it. But it's one of those things where it's like, okay, so what then? It's not a great system, okay, to have the people who are doing certain things have more authority than others. Because then it's like, alright, so these moments that we get in these books that are meant to be these grand conclusions for these characters end up meaningless. Because it's like, oh, well, but they continue. It's like, it's the same thing that goes into, like, the people who complain, like, oh, well, I don't like where Luke ended up in the original, in the prequels. It's like, or no, the sequels, it's like, alright, well, you know, that is what it is. But here's my issue with this. Asajj Ventress got her send-off in Dark Disciple, where she had that, it was a book where she teamed up with Quinlan Vos after Order 66, and it's about the two of them, you know, doing their thing. She ends up dying in that. They never explain how she's still alive or even acknowledge that she died, which is why I'm watching this and I'm like, maybe the next two-part episode will explain that. But my question is why? Because the role she's filling so far through one episode, and I could be wrong with how it ends up turning out in future episodes, the role she's filling right now is not one that you need Asajj Ventress for. Like, this is a, and to use the colloquial term, the glup shitto moment. where it's like, we don't have a reason why this has to be her. This isn't a moment where it's like, you know, like Red Skull in Infinity War, where it's like, oh, well, we had a reason, like, you know, he didn't die, he just got sent out into space, so he could be anywhere, so it doesn't not, like, it doesn't not make sense that he's, you know, that he is here. Like, this is just flying in the face of what has been established, and I ordinarily don't have a massive problem with that, but in this specific case, it's like, why are we bothering to do this when this role could have been a Kaminoan scientist? This role could have been an Imperial defector. This role could have been another clone. Like, there's nothing about this role. This role could have been a Jedi that escaped. That's not some big name Jedi. It could have been anyone. Like, you don't have to go and talk to one of the 17 people that we know about. You could just have it be someone else who can lead you to the information. And that's my problem here. Is that we're getting into this territory again where it's like, oh, you remember this? Well, good, because here it is. Oh, you remember this? Well, good, because here it is. And that's when it feels like it's rewarding more than, like, actual storytelling. And watching this episode and having this episode come the week that they put out the trailer for The Acolyte, and we get the first look at, you know, and we see all the vitriolic hatred that's coming from, you know, that's coming toward that show. It's one of those things where it's like, I get why there's hate going to it now. If this is what large swaths of the Star Wars fan base want out of their content, not good storytelling, but just for the same seven things to be regurgitated on screen, to be like, oh, look, I remember that. Oh, look, I remember that. Like, if that's what you want, congratulations, because Asajj Ventress is here. But there's no reason why it had to be Asajj Ventress. There's no reason why they have to go through such, like, it's 15 episodes. If the two-part episode after this is them explaining how Asajj Ventress survived, that's a waste of time. They should have just made the season 13 episodes. Because Asajj Ventress should not have come back. There is nothing in this episode that demands her return. Unless they're saying, like, oh, we're going to do a redemption arc for her, but I don't think that's the case either. It's weird. It's an odd choice, and I'm just baffled by it entirely. What else have we got? I don't know. I feel like there's definitely, like, this episode is really just like, let's see if Omega actually has, you know, midichlorians. And it's like, but why would she? And then it's like, well, some of the clones might. And it's like, but why? Like, explain it to me. If all the clones, except for the team here, Boba Fett and Omega, are perfect clones of Jango Fett, why would some of them have the ability to use the Force? Like, it's just silly. And that's the thing, too, is that it's like, you watch, like, we watch, like, this episode felt like a lengthy way to explain how Sabine can use the Force in Ahsoka, which, like, it's just articulating what anyone with half a brain was able to figure out from context clues. But we have this massive issue, and I've talked about it before, with media literacy. It's just kind of silly to me. I don't know. I was very high on the Bad Batch last season. Like, there were three episodes last season. I'm like, this is exactly what I'm looking for out of this show. This show is fantastic. But for that to happen and then to come to this season, it'd be like, oh, well, all right. It feels like we're dragging our feet, like, a little bit. And now we're on this Asajj Ventress side quest. Like, what even is the plot anymore? Alright, so we figured out that Omega doesn't actually have midichlorians. Alright, great. Which, I like, why is the Empire so obsessed with her? It's like, because it's an imperfect cloning set. Like, this is the issue. Like, this is the issue. It's that I figured out where we are before the characters are. And this has been a recurring issue for weeks now, where it's like, I know where we are more than the characters do. So the characters are playing catch-up to me. And it's not like this is because there's some twist coming and I'm expecting something that's not the case. It's like, no, obviously Omega was not going to be able to use the Force. Unless they do something at the end of the show where it's like, ta-da, here's the Force. Like, which is a possibility, but unlikely. I don't know. This whole thing's kind of off to me. This whole season's been kind of a disappointment. It looks great. And don't get me wrong. I think the animation is fantastic. And they do a great job with it. Like, it is beautiful to look at. But that does not make a show good. Looking good and having a good narrative are not necessarily the same thing. Like, and it's a problem if the show just looks good and there's no good story being told. Because you're missing half of what makes narrative fiction, narrative fiction, like, you know, animation or even live action. Like, you're missing half there. And it's a problem. But we'll wrap up there for today. Tomorrow we'll be doing X-Men 97 in the morning. Saturday we'll be doing, what's it called? Saturday we'll be doing, The Girls on the Bus. In terms of movies, tomorrow evening we will be doing Godzilla and Kong the New Empire. And on Saturday we'll be doing, In the Land of Saints and Sinners. No 30-minute reviews this week because, it is Easter. And we'll have, 2 episodes of the Backlog Files going up later this week. I'm sorry I've been busy. But until our next episode, have a great rest of your week.